This is Tall Boy Radio. Each week, your hosts, Beans, Gaz and Andy, grab a beer and discuss whatever it is that's on our minds. We try to keep things uncomplicated. The premise for this podcast is as simple as we are. Not only can you listen to us at tallboyradio.com and on every podcast platform, you can also watch the video version on YouTube. Just search for Tall Boy Radio or click on the link on our website. If you have a story and want to feature on the show or just want to get in touch, drop us an email at mail@tallboyradio.com or leave us a comment on social media. At Tallboy Radio on Twitter and Facebook, and at Tallboy Radio Podcast on Instagram. Or you can leave us a message on the Anchor app, which we can play on the show. Right, the show is about to begin, so go grab yourself a cold one, kick back, and enjoy. Welcome back to episode 90 of Tall Boy Radio. If you joined us last week, then massive, massive thanks. If you joined us last week from Italy and Indonesia, was that the other country that we added?
It was, yep.
So two new countries in one week. We'll take that all day, every day. So that's countries 38 and 39. Thank you very much, wherever it is you listen in those two countries. Just thank you for joining and thank you for listening. And I've said hello. But let's go to the other two main reasons why people listen, the other two hosts. If you want to introduce yourselves and tell us what you're drinking, go for it.
Yeah, hi guys. Looking forward to this week. I am drinking a Tisky, which actually I really, really enjoy. And just to rock the TBR merch out of the TBR podcast glass. So yeah, really looking forward to this. I quite like Tisky, and it helps that it's 4 for 3 in the local supermarket. So that's always that's always a bonus.
So in your last bottle now then?
No. Just to... For those of you that aren't watching on YouTube, there were two there, so.
Andy?
Hello. I'm on a beer you brought over, the Pecan Chocolate Porter. Yeah, well, I had a smell of it. I'm not too big of a fan of that stuff like this. Hashtag bring back the Marmite beer.
Really? Dude, I really enjoyed that one. And not just because of the Father Ted reference in the name. Wait a minute. These are fake hands.
You're not a fan of that,
struggle drinking them. No. It's like any chocolate stout, and I just struggle to drink it. I don't know.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what I'm drinking. I'm drinking one or two beers. I don't know which one is which in time. As last week, I promised I was going to do the plum porter taste test. So there you go. That's the Titanic plum porter. And my wife has poured them into two glasses. And that is the Aldi plum porter. If you're watching on YouTube, my wife has poured them into two glasses. Written which one is which in this envelope. And I'm going to see if I can tell the difference between the two. Now, from sight, I'm going to say the Titanic is in the TBR glass. From smell, I'm getting over a cold. And my sense of smell is limited. See how I'm putting that out there just in case I'm wrong, getting the excuses.
Yeah, absolutely. I see what you do there.
And from taste, I also think that this one is also the Titanic. But I'm going to have a little bit of an extra look at them and a little bit of a snifter while Gaz tells us about the Bond film that he went to watch.
Yeah, so I went to watch the Bond film. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Really, really, really good watch. Really entertaining. A couple of things that were, I think, predictable from the previous Bond. And I don't want to give away too many spoilers, but sort of the back end of the last Bond film, sort of Daniel Craig or James Bond had sort of retired his 00. So it doesn't take a genius to work out that they'd actually recruited another 007. And that turned out to be a black female agent, which she played the part really well. And I've read a couple of articles saying that actually, long-term, she doesn't want the role of 007, because ultimately 007 is just, it's just an assignment, isn't it? It's not James Bond, it's just 007. That, so whatever the name of that character will be, might be assigned 007. So and I enjoyed it. Rami Malek was excellent as the villain, the bad guy. Very, very, very good. Good to see sort of Blofeld back as a baddie. He was in it as well. Car chases were good, explosions were good, fight scenes were good. All the things that you would expect from a Bond film, really. Bit of a plot twist, not plot twist, but a bit of a twist at the end. Don't know whether I want to say, just in case anyone's listening that hasn't seen it. I don't know what your thoughts. Do I say or do I not say? Or
I'll don't be know honest, what... does anybody know that there was going to be a female Bond in it? Because that's news to me. That's, you know, do we need to stick a spoiler alert?
It's not a female Bond. It was just a female 00.
I thought you said female 007. I apologise.
So there was a 00. So effectively, James Bond had retired his 00 status at the end of the last film. and they'd obviously then reassigned the 007 to a different character, and obviously Bond then comes back into the fold as such and gets reassigned to 007. So whilst it's not a new 007 as such, there was a black female character that portrayed that sort of for a while. But the plot twist at the end, I don't know, do I say it, do I not say it? Go on, I'll say it for all you people that haven't seen it yet and don't want a spoiler or whatever. Bond dies at the end, so James Bond as a character actually dies and gets killed.
I've seen people tweeting saying they got a bit teary at the end. I thought he was signing off or something.
No, so he gets blown up, so effectively the character of James Bond is dead, so doesn't exist anymore. And as I say, what you can sort of tell what they're thinking in terms of the franchise is that this female black character that was 007 at the start of the film, I assume will continue to then be reassigned as 007 moving forward. So you won't ever see a James Bond film anymore. What you might see is a 007 film moving forward, if that makes sense.
I've got a question, actually, if you don't mind me just jumping at this point. And I thought that after we listened last week, when we were talking about a female Bond or a female 007, if you will, what are the key parts of those Bond films going back over the years to, what is it, 60s, did they go back to?
Yeah.
Roger Moore was 73, wasn't he?
Connery was 60s, wasn't he?
Yeah, so one of the key things that goes in, at some point during that film, got old Bond as his way with the sexy female villain, doesn't he?
Yep.
You know, and the she's normally some exotic foreign lady as well. Given how the two different genders are viewed in the media and in general, generally speaking, women who tend to sleep around, you know, a guy normally gets a high five, a pat on the back, and a sexy time. Whereas the women, they tend to get a little bit, you know, tarnished with it, like sluts and things like that. You know, how will that work going forward? Or do we just as a nation need to grow up and actually accept that?
Possibly,
adults do have sex.
Yes, they do. I think back in the day, you know, you Roger Moore was the, whether or not he was meant to be portrayed like this, but you know, the typical British chauvinistic sort of womanizer, etc., etc. Are we in a society, and are we at a point now where we would accept a female manizer, if that's even a word? Do you know what I mean? A female character that goes around and gets what she needs and by sleeping with men, as you say. And I think years ago you would call them various names, and as you say, you know, the guys would be like, "Wee, go on, son," whereas if it was a female, you'd be like, "Ooh," sort of thing. I don't know, and I'm only surmising as to how they, I mean, you only have to look at films. Was it like Red Sparrow and things like that? Was it with, I want to say Scarlett Johansson, it might not be her, and she played a Russian agent who, let's say, used her femininely wiles to sort of get various assignments done and completed and information and secrets out of mails and stuff. So I just think we need to perhaps just grow up a little bit and think, actually, you know what, for every time that a male agent has used the bedroom to sort of garnish secrets or whatever, I think there's a female that's possibly done the same. You know what I mean?
Maybe they'll keep doing it with women that they sleep with.
Maybe.
I'm hoping for a fat guy, like football fan or something like that.
But it was interesting that they'd obviously thought about, and we went back to, did we mention it last week, about I hope they don't go down the just tick the box of, you know, the black character, the female character, the gay, the lesbian, the whatever box that you want to tick sort of thing. But obviously after watching it was a female black actress that played a 007. So I wonder whether or not moving forward that might be where they go. But as I say, interestingly, I think she has done a couple of interviews saying she actually doesn't want the role sort of long term. And I think if they pay her $10 million a film or whatever, I think she might reconsider. But I don't know. Possibly that might be the way that they're going.
Craig said he don't want to do it anymore, and they keep throwing money at him. He's like, go on then. So you never know with her. But I was just thinking then, when we spoke about it last week, was when you watch films like that, with it being a male, you sort of associate, you could imagine you doing that, couldn't you? You know, like the whole, when you're a kid, it's like, oh, I want to be a spy and all that. Yeah. Could you do it with an opposite sex sort of character as well?
That's an interesting one.
I mean, I
don't care what sex you are, but I think I'd like to see 007 still doing a male thing. It could be 006 or whatever.
Here's the thing, though. So if you've got, say, 50% of the population who are imagining themselves as James Bond, well, you switch that around, then you've still got that same statistic. You know, you've got 50% of women imagining themselves in that sort of dominant role and being the spy who gets the information and sort of saves the day. I can't say I've ever imagined myself as a female spy. It's an image.
it is an image, I'll give you that. It's interesting because, you know, as I say, that the quintessential British spy, you could go back, you know, what we mentioned it last week, you know, the Saint and Bond and Bourne, you know, they're male, very strong male characters. And then you think they fight physically other male baddies. Yes, the love interest is a female. So then you flip it on its head and you say, so is the new 007, if it's a female character, is she just going to physically fight female bad people? Or is she going to physically scrap baddies who traditionally are blokes? And is the love interest then a male or a female? Yeah, so there's all sorts of these weird sort of storylines and sort of ways that you think it could go. But as a watchman, as a Bond fan, I really enjoyed the film. It was entertaining. The time flew by. I didn't feel as though I was in there for whatever it was, just over a couple of hours, 2.5 hours, whatever it was. It was a good watch. It was, if I'm being ultra critical, possibly you might need to watch Spectre again beforehand. Just to get a couple of the nuances, in particular with Blofeld, with one of the bad guys, just to refresh your mind about exactly what Spectre was. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, Jenny and the girls ended up watching it. I know last week I said I wasn't sure if the girls were going to watch it or watch something else, but they watched it and they enjoyed it as well. So, you know, they're not massive Bond fans, but they watched it and enjoyed it as a standalone. I watched it as a Bond fan and enjoyed it. So,
cool.
Yeah. Pretty good.
I have actually got another question on Bond, but before I do, I've got a little plum-coloured envelope here, which I'm going to open up and just see if I'm right. So, as I said earlier, this one in the TBR glass smells like it's got that lovely plummy smile. It's got that little red tint to it, which it has. Doesn't tend to keep his head particularly well. And to me, that one tastes like the Titanic plum porter. This one had a big old head on it. It's dark. Can't see a redness. Well, there is a slight redness to it. Now I get it on the angle. It could be the glass. I'm starting to think I could be wrong now. But
I really hope you are now.
I know you do. I know that everybody who listens really would like to see me fail. That, to me, doesn't taste like a Titanic plum porter. So I am going to say that the TBR glass is the one that contains the Titanic plum porter. So
yes,
there we go.
Good lad.
I was going to say there's a plot twist and it's the non-alcoholic plum porter.
my body would automatically reject it if it was alcohol.
Just vomit everywhere.
That's a better taste test than can you tell the difference between, I know, like a Leff and a 0% Leff, or a Punk and an AF or whatever. You know what I mean? That's a better, because actually they both are alcohol. They're both effectively the same type of drink. They should taste the same.
Yeah.
So
I've had a lot of plum porters. Whenever I see a different plum porter, I always pick it up and try it just to compare it. Because like I've said before, Titanic plum porter, one of my favourite beers. I've got to be honest, the Aldi one, it's not terrible. There's not a real taste of plum to it, if I'm really honest, but I am full of a cold, so it could be the case that I'm not doing it justice. But to me, I'm not getting the flavour. It's a beer, it's okay, it's enjoyable. You know, maybe I'll let Dave have this one as well to take the taste of his Marmite beer away when he joins us. He's not with us this week, but maybe next week or the week after when he's figured out which one half term is, he will be joining us.
Half term?
Yes. No, my question then, dude, again, is Bond. And I thought about this again after last week. So those Bond films, I don't know whether either of you know the answer to this question or whether I'm overthinking it.
Probably.
Six different actors then, I think, have played James Bond on the old silver screen. Seven, if you're going to include Radio and Bob Holness and his early production of James Bond. So six different actors have played it. So Is that six different actors playing James Bond, or are we actually saying the character of James Bond has morphed into look over the years? Because, like, let's face it, 50 plus years to James Bond, it's not going to be the same guy. Is it six different people who are James Bond? So they're taken into the Secret Service. Maybe they had a name before and they become 007 James Bond. Is that a thing, or am I overthinking it?
I don't think they've ever done a continuity thing between different actors, have they? They've done, like, so Daniel Craig's had his run of films, but I don't think they've linked to Pierce Brosnan's ones and stuff like that.
No, and that's my thought. Like, so previous to Pierce Brosnan, was it Timothy Dalton? Was he the one before?
Yes.
So say, for example, like Timothy Dalton, good old Welsh boy, playing Bond. And then you get Pierce Brosnan, who I think is English. He certainly appears to be quintessentially English. So are we saying it's just a different actor playing him in the film, or we just assume that this is the character of James Bond playing by somebody else? Or are we actually saying this is a different being? This, the whole individual takes on the role of James Bond
007. Yeah, I know what you're saying. I do see what you're saying. And when you take into account that the films are obviously based on the books by Ian Fleming, then Ian Fleming would have written that with a person, a character in mind. So when you read, you know, when you read the Ian Fleming books, they are the same person. They are the same character.
Yeah.
I think it's just, I say, happenstance that what they've done is they've filmed Dr. No, whatever. Was that the first film, Bond, or whatever? Was it Casino Royale was the first radio one, was it? Or vice versa? I think Casino Royale was the first radio one.
No, that was George Lazenby, wasn't it? So he was the one who, obviously, it's not the same sort of franchise that did it.
But Casino Royale is an Ian Fleming story. So it's a Bond story.
It is, yeah. And I don't know how the one that Bob Holmes portrayed him is, but I'd love to hear it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think
but you're thinking, oh, because the animal went on to do Blockbusters, maybe that's where they got the idea of Q from. I'll have a Q, please, Bob. I'll use that. I'll write M. that down for you.
Yeah. Or an M. So I think Dr. No is the first film, and it just so happens that they then have made a film every, I'm going to say, I don't know, 2 years, 3 years, whatever it may be. Now, it just so happens that Ian Fleming wrote, let's say, 20 different Bond storylines. And in Ian Fleming's mind, in the Bond verse, he James Bond has done each of those things. And he's gone and seen, you know, Jaws and Scaramanga and Blofeld and all of those baddies. And he's stopped all of those things happening. It just so happens that the last film that they made was 50 years after the first film they made. It's still the same character. It's still the same world. It's all those things have happened. Yes, technology and this, that, and the other has moved on and stuff. But I think I subscribe to that rather than 007 is always going to be James Bond. And you might be called Adam Dickinson. But if you get assigned to the Secret Service, whatever, you stop becoming Adam Dickinson. You become 007 James Bond. In which case, you can have them spanning multiple timelines, if that makes sense. So the moniker of James Bond is always associated with 007, as opposed to, it's a guy called James Bond.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? I think I subscribe to Ian Fleming wrote them as a series of stories. It's a bit like the Arthur Conan Doyle, and you look at Sherlock Holmes. You know, he wrote a series of stories involving that character. Now, does Robert Downey Jr. as opposed to, oh, come on, dude, help me out. Yes. So is that the same?
Or Basil Rathbone, too.
Basil Rathbone, that was the guy I was trying to think of. Yeah. Basil Rathbone, that was the guy I was trying to think of. So does that mean that Robert Downey Jr. is a different character than Basil Rathbone? Do you know what I mean? I think you've got to take into account that certainly when they're based on books, it actually should be the same character, and it just so happens that they're made years and years later. Okay. I think it
makes sense to me. I mean, that's kind of what I presume. But I thought afterwards, if they did do that, they could do an interesting spin on it. So it's rather it being James Bond, starting off with being James Bond, it could actually build from being the character to maybe Seymour Goldfarb, if you've watched Cannonball Run, you'll get that reference. Okay. Then, you know, he then transforms into James Bond 007 as he takes on the role and he goes through the training and he gets his assignment. You know, that could be an interesting take on it, but I think, you know, probably what you see, would you go along with that, Andy? Was his Gaz's take like the most feasible?
I think so.
Did you stop listening and start thinking?
I was just trying to work out in my head, like, because I was thinking different things of, like, is it like a reboot every actor? You know what I mean? Like, do they just take the story spin it and, you know, redesign it or whatever. Like, obviously, there's been two Casino Royale films.
Yeah.
That's a good point, that.
I don't know.
I'm not
suggesting it's like Doctor Who and they transform and get a big scarf or something. Although that would be
you joke, but ultimately that's, you know, that time traveler and you become a Time Lord and then you might morph into that character, whereas I don't necessarily subscribe to that being the same with James Bond. Do you know what I mean? I genuinely think it was written as a series of, it's the same character, it's the same person. Moving forward, I don't know what they're going
to
do.
Yeah. Well, listen, come to TBR. We've got ideas.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
We'll pitch some things. Don't you worry about that.
You know, coming soon to a screen near you, Peter Dinklage plays 007. You know, it's like... nothing against Peter Dinklage.
003 and a half. Yeah. I'm sorry.
And if you're listening, Peter, that was Adam that said that, not me. I'm a massive fan. I love your work.
That's it. Direct all your hate mail to me. I deserve it. So moving on swiftly, NFL and Andy, let's start on the NFL. How did the Lions, have they had another strong week?
Yeah. To be fair, there's only a few points in the last game, aren't there?
Yeah, it was.
I saw the halftime and I was like, yeah, I'm not watching this.
You say a few points, and a few being, just a bit more than a few. No, I'm happy with the Bears, though. I didn't expect the victory over the Las Vegas Raiders as such, but I'll take it.
Do you think it could have been a little bit of dissent in the camp anyway? Because obviously, I don't know if you've seen the Raiders guys lost his job today.
Yeah. Gruden? Is it Gruden? Actually, a quote came up giving an insight into what he'd called Joe Biden and what have you read? I don't know if you've seen it, but... All right, okay. Well, it begins with P and it rhymes with Russie. But he's come out of this master trade. He's got various people, various things.
I think that'll curry him some favour. They were investigating the Washington football team, weren't they? And they discovered some emails that had been sent by him, which were racist, apparently, and were used hateful speech in them. Good dating back to, you know, 2018 and prior to that. So
apparently, he'd mentioned Joe Biden and he'd mentioned, I think... Roger Goodall, I think, is the NFL commissioner, is that right? In various not very nice, quite derogatory ways. So, and I don't know whether that's any reason as to why he was, and these have come to light, and that's the reason why, or whether it's just actually they lost the Bears, so Christ, they must be bad, and they've sacked him for that reason sort of thing. So, yeah, I mean, I'll take, interestingly though, just while I run the Bears and the Raiders, the last four times they've played in four different cities.
Yeah, I heard that. I watched Red Zone.
Did you watch the Red Zone? Yeah, so I picked that up. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. So they played in Oakland and then Chicago and then London and then now in Vegas. So the last four times they played in four different cities.
That's gotta be a first, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has to be, surely, yeah.
You know, unless maybe during, well, certainly post Super Bowl year, I'd say it's going to be a first. There's probably some interesting things when teams merged during the Second World War when the Steelers and the Eagles were the Steagles. I don't know, maybe they played Philadelphia and Pittsburgh.
Yeah, maybe.
So I don't know.
Yeah,
I might be reaching out. But yeah, that certainly is an unusual statistic. But speaking of the Steelers, a win. Finally, a win. Yeah, we've moved to 2-3. Still bottom of the AFC North. Especially because, you know, the Bengals actually... Although I think they went on to lose, didn't they, to Green Bay? But they look pretty strong against them. Right? They were proven. This isn't a fluke that they were 3-1. They've looked pretty good.
They have looked pretty strong, and I was willing them to beat the Cheeseheads, obviously because the Cheeseheads are in the same division as we are, and we've got them next week. So you know that would have been nice going into that week with a victory for us and a defeat for them. But I mean, with 3-2 and. You know, Matt Nagy's got all this heat on him and he's not doing a very good job. And again, I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure in the last, was it the three seasons, four seasons that Nagy's been with us, after five games, he's had a better than a 500 average season. So effectively, we're 3-2 or better in each of the last four seasons or five seasons Matt Nagy's been with us. So, yeah. A couple of times we've sort of flattered to deceive and then dropped off and not made playoffs. But he's obviously doing something right. Interestingly, he wasn't calling the plays, the offensive plays on Sunday. And he used to have this big crib sheet. And on the bottom right corner, it was like BU. And actually, the crib sheet from last week was about a third of the size. It was tiny. It looked like an A5 sheet of paper compared to an A3 sheet of paper sort of thing. So
looked like Dinklage's sheet. I am so sorry.
Peter, if you're listening, that was Adam again. Yeah, it did. And what a lot of the fans, and, you know, you follow various people on social media, and what they're saying is that maybe he's actually come to realise that you don't need all these expansive plays and you don't need all these combinations of plays. You just need a set number of plays that work and you just go with it. And what I did like was that he basically, whether it's him or whether it's the offensive guy calling the plays, they allowed Justin Fields to play. And he proper got banged up there. I don't know whether you saw any of the highlights. Oh, my days, they went after him early doors. Roughing the passer and real went after the quarterback a lot.
I saw one hit on him and I was amazed, actually. I think he was sidelined for a little while afterwards. And yeah. I was amazed he was back in the game.
Yeah, there were personal fouls. There was roughing the passer. You know, there was lots and lots and lots of things on him. So fair play to him. He stood in there. And again, you know, his passer rating wasn't great. And I think I don't think from memory he threw for a passing touchdown, but he's sort of working the offense. He's getting many, many, many more first downs than previously and historically we've had. So something's working. Our running game seems to be quite cool. That's quite good. David Montgomery was out, but our running game was working, which actually means that our offensive line was working, which is a bit of a thing for us. If that works, we go well, because our defense is always going to be good.
Yeah.
The problem with our defense is if it's on the field for a long time, you start giving up points, and no defense can stay on the field. No.
Yeah, it's not sustainable.
You know, your offense can't be three and out, and then you expect your defense to then hold, and then your offense goes three and out, and you expect your defense to hold. It just doesn't happen like that. So, you know, our defense is always going to be decent. You know, you got Khalil Mack in there. He's outstanding, but he can't play all of the plays all the time. So, but I'll take where we are at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not sure. I mean, Andy will have to take where the lines are. I can't really say anything. We're bottom of the AFC North. And I'm guessing you're going to be hoping, Andy, that Bengals form is a bit of a fluke because you've got them next week. Have you got much time to watch? I mean, obviously, you know, these games generally go on for 3 hours. Having a newborn, I'm guessing you don't really get 3 hours to yourself at this point in time. Have you seen much of the NFL?
No. I mean, normally, last few years, I probably only watched, like, you know, the highlights and stuff like that, but I've not even watched any basketball last God knows how many months. I've been watching United games, though. I've got that. That might be because we had people over, though, to look after the kids. But...
Oh, it helps. Oh,
do you know what you need to do, though, Andy? If Sky is 6 o'clock on a Sunday, get your red zone on. Is it 417 or 416 or something on Sky? Get your red zone on, and that's effectively your highlights of all the games. It's like a live highlights of all the games all at the same time, and you've got 7 hours of commercial free football, whatever he says, Mr. Scott Hansen. If you're listening, Scott, another big shout out. And that's the best thing to do. Imagine watching all of the Premiership football games, and you've got like the Octobox, and you've got all the highlights and all the different screens all at the same time. And if there's a goal, you go to there, and if there's a unless the Bears are playing live, I just watch Red Zone. Effectively, that's just what I watch, because you get to pick up all the different bits about all the different games.
Yeah, it is. So I do the same with the Steelers.
Yeah.
So do you think Juju's played his last game in Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
I think he has. That shoulder injury's put him out for the season. And I just think...
I just can't see them... I can't see them naming him as a franchise tag player now. I think he will be, just because of the salary restrictions, I think he'd probably be too expensive to keep, and therefore he's probably going to be traded, I think. Right. I mean, I don't know the ins and outs of the Pittsburgh squad as such, but I suspect he might go.
Well, I think next year we're going to be bringing in a new QB in all likelihood, who's going to be obviously getting paid a lot less than Big Ben. Although, to be fair, he took a massive wage cut to be playing again this season. God bless him. And he's earned the right to come back. Definitely, he's earned the right. So I think there'll be a little bit of salary space if we needed to keep him, if we wanted to keep him. I just feel like Chase Claypool is becoming the man. He is becoming the man. Yeah. And then Washington and Deontay, honestly, those two guys, I think, you know, we're starting to build something that's promising.
Yeah. Just while you're on the NFL, have you watched the Cowboys All or Nothing? I don't know if you've seen it or not.
I haven't.
It's decent. Ezekiel Elliott is decent, obviously. Dak Prescott is, you know, he's the QB. So it's decent. It's worth a watch. If you like, if you do like your All or Nothing, you know, it throws a light on the Cowboys, which are, I suppose, historically one of the powerhouses of the NFL. You know, they are literally like you know, one of the original sort of teams as such. So
America's team, they call themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, the Thanksgiving games and all of that sort of thing. So it's worth a watch. I've watched it. I've enjoyed it. I'd love the Bears, to be honest, honestly. They haven't been on any of them either. What was the other one? You got All or Nothing or the...
Hard Knocks.
Yeah, so yeah. The Bears haven't been on either of them, I don't think. So I'd love to see them involved. I don't. It's obviously not happening.
Be careful
this year,
what you wish for, dude. That's what I'd say with it.
Well, you're saying.
I'm not looking forward to Arsenal's version of that.
Oh, dude, it'd be ace, especially when you get relegated.
Ace for you, yeah. I'm looking forward to those text messages coming through.
Absolutely.
You don't get Big Sam as well.
Yeah, listen. Stop joking about that.
Get the gravy guzzler down. Go on, get him down, son.
Hey, he might be needed back in Newcastle. Yeah, you never know.
Oh, no, I suspect other people. Frank Lampard's favourite, isn't he? Or one of the favourites? Yeah, you're saying he might be there. So
I saw. Is it the Saudi royal family who bought them or someone like that? Consortium.
Well, it depends what you. It depends who you listen to and what you read, but the Saudi royal family have ties. I think it's the prince that has bought them. But what Newcastle are and the FA are saying is that he is separate to the royal family, because obviously the royal family allegedly, and I don't want to get too political now, ordered the hit on Jamal Khashoggi. So they're saying that their human rights is really...
Oh, okay.
And... So I think they must have passed the fit and fair test that the FA do. But I think on the back of the Crown Prince saying he wants to buy it, they've now come up with some sort of document that says the Crown Prince is nothing to the royal family. Yeah, I'm not sure that flies with me, if I'm honest. Does the Prince actually mean he is part of the royal family? I don't know, but...
I did see a good joke about it, though, about they sort of said that the prince had sacked his consortium because he'd sent them out to buy him a new castle and they came back with a shit football team.
absolutely. Yeah. That's quite humorous, actually. But yeah, I think that, you know, there were some concerns over the Saudi government's sort of human rights and the way that they treat some of the sort of the population in their own country. There was obviously the Jamal Khashoggi bit. And there was this CIA dossier that said that actually it was the Saudi royal family that had commissioned the hit on him. So that's not great. If the FA is saying that they've gone through their fair and fit trial, then fair enough. And if they have, they have. If it's a bit dodgy, then it'll all come out in the wash, sort of thing. In a way, I'm just glad that Newcastle, I can't believe I'm saying this really as an Everton fan, but to do another football team, but I'm sort of glad that they have got some investment, because Newcastle are a massive club, a massive club, and actually they do deserve to be up there, because their fan base is incredible, really.
Yeah, oh, definitely, definitely. I was saying earlier, I would love it. I would love it if someone came in and put some money into Newcastle Football Club.
Well, there was a caller on Talk Sport, and I don't know, he'd had a can or two, and he's like, who is it you want after Steve Bruce? And he's like, you know what? I'd love it if King Kev came back for season. You're just thinking, dude, just get with the times, seriously. Mr. Nostalgia and all that. And I get it, but come on. I mean, King Kev, not having that.
So what about you guys? And have you guys got anything you want to talk about tonight?
Two. Have you seen Murder Island? Which is a sort of a programme on, I think, is it Channel 4 or something, maybe? Probably. Have you seen it or not?
Is it fictional or is it documentarial?
It's sort of fictional, but it's been written by a guy. So Ian Rankin, who is the...
Oh, yeah, I've heard of him, yeah.
Now, it's got five teams of amateur sleuths. And basically, Ian Rankin's written the story, and these amateur teams go into the crime scene and they have to solve the murder. There's been a murder. The murder it is. So they have to solve the murder. And it just took me back to thinking like Pickford and Dickinson, parapsychologists, you know, and if we turned our hand to sort of, you know, forensics and murder investigation, how would we get on? And that's what I was thinking.
I tell you, someone who could solve a murder, who nearly dropped himself in it last week, actually, is one of the listeners picked up on it. The quiet man of the group there, Mr. Ryan, who started off saying, it's always the quiet ones you have to watch, and then changed it when he realised he was the quiet one and he was drawing attention to himself and his murderous intentions.
It's because I've got my medicine next to me, a little bit of alcohol.
No, but so Murder Island, yeah, so there's this storyline, and they dramatised it so that there's actors and actresses, and they dramatised the story, and there's a voiceover, and the voiceover is like, oh, that character was me, and the person being carried in the body bag was me, and they do this voiceover. But what they get is they get five pairs of amateur people that have just, you know, applied to go on the programme, and they're followed and tracked by two really senior murder detectives. And they get to feedback on what they do. And they get to basically interview the actors and actresses, and they get to visit the crime scene, and they get to look at the forensics and all of that. And it's quite cool, but it just got me thinking about, because you always think, oh, no, I could solve that. And Amy, my daughter, who is, I'm sure, is either a serial killer or a mass detective sort of in waiting, she's like, oh, no, we could do that. What about if me and you went on, Dad, and sort of thing? And I'll be like, yeah, maybe, sort of thing. And like, just little things, like, you know, they walked into a crime scene and there's like loads of blood on the floor, and these two people just went tramping through it, and you're like, seriously, it's like a crime scene, like, what are you doing? But they get to take the photos, they read the autopsy reports, and they have to solve the crime effectively.
There's a lot of this at the minute, though, just in real life, like podcasters and TikTokers getting involved in unsolved crimes and actually having a degree of success. And you only have to watch a few of the programs that have been on Netflix. Like, if you've not seen Don't Fuck With Cats, have you watched
it? Yeah,
have you watched it, Andy? Dude, watch it. You know, probably shield your young child's ears from it. You know, they're very, very susceptible to these things at that age. But honestly, watch it. It is phenomenal. And it's true crime. It's true all the way. It's people on the internet bonding together to actually say something's not right here, and actually ended up solving a crime that the police didn't really know what happened. It was phenomenal.
No, it was. It was quite a disturbing watch, though, in a way. It was like you're thinking, I'm not 100% sure I want to be watching this, or this is right, sort of thing. But no, it's that type of thing. And you get, I think it was only the first episode. And what happens is that there's an older lady who is a former chief inspector constable, real senior lady, and she's done various sort of murder investigations before. And they effectively they cast a critical eye over each of the contestants, and then every week I think one of the teams gets removed from the investigation, so the one that they feel as though is the least sort of effective. But there's questioning, there's obviously, you know, there's forensics, there's photography and all that sort of stuff, and it's worth a watch. It's a little bit gimmicky just in terms of the dramatization of it, but it's quite cool. And it just got me thinking, you know, could I do, I'd love to give it a go. Would I be any good at it? No idea.
Have you ever done a murder mystery weekend or anything like that? I can imagine Andy being in that one quite sinister.
Well, I've done one with you, kid.
We did.
I think from memory, I was quite an integral part. I don't actually know what part I played in it, but I think I was relatively integral to it. But
I played the drunk in the corner. No, I was drunk while I was in the corner. That was it.
Can't remember why I played, but I think I got the piss taken out of me because I looked pretty much like Adolf Hitler. I got some dodgy tash stuck on, and then I got this. I waited for some glasses. Yeah, anyway, so I can't remember even the character I played, but
I don't know. You did look like you'd just come from the Third Reich, though.
So, yes, yeah, so I have done them, and they are quite good fun, depending on who you go with, sort of thing. So
cool. Go on, what was your other topic then you wanted to talk about, dude? You said you had two.
Well, I don't know whether we've covered this before, but I'm a celeb. Could you do it? Could you not do it?
Oh, I know my answer. And go to Andy on that one first. Could you partake in any kangaroo anus?
I think I could do it, but I don't think I'd like the people I'll be in with.
So if you just there on your own doing all the trials, you'd be sad.
Oh, that'd be a piece of piss. I think because it'll always be some like reality TV tool or something like that, and it'll just annoy me. Like, because it's not about being, you know, interesting. That they're all just like in your face and like act stupid, don't they, and stuff like that. It just infuriates me.
I mean, the only reason I ask is that allegedly, is it Piers Morgan? Is he doing it this season? Is he?
I hate Piers Morgan with a passion. He's the only person I have blocked on Twitter. That's how much I hate him. I listen to anybody's opinion. I don't care if I disagree with that. I ain't got a problem with that. I just hate Piers Morgan.
Well, I think allegedly he's down to do it. And there were a couple of other people, and it just got me thinking, like, could I do it? Could I do all the trials? I'm not. I'm sort of okay with spiders. I know you've got no chance. Like
no,
like smallest
no
spider. You would.
I'm
just, like.
I'm out of there. Yeah. I'm not a celebrity, but get me out anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're. Yeah. So spiders, I think I'm sort of okay with. Rats, I think I'd be okay with. Snakes. I've held a snake and I think you've got to get through the mindset of like, yes, you know, your green ants and stuff. Yeah, they might bite but they're only tiny. And yeah, it's irritating, but ultimately they're not going to put you in somewhere where you're going to die. Do you know what I mean?
I could die. I am that scared of spiders. That could be what polls me off. Honestly, I can't even watch that program because of the spiders on it. Honestly, I won't watch it. I've like literally we put it on once and there's a bloody big spider and somebody's that's it. I'm done. No way. I ain't watching.
There was a very famous scene. Was it Paul Burrell? Was he the Princess Di's butler or whatever it was? And there's a famous scene and Ant and Dec that are on there. They were literally pissing themselves laughing because he's got his hand in his hand. Like, so he's like trying to put his hand in this, like, and you got to reach in and find the star. He's like, "Oh, Mother Mary!" Like this, and he's like proper giving it. And Ant and Dec, obviously, you know, they are literally crying. Like, if you haven't seen the clip, it's genius. But heights, I think I'm okay with the water stuff. I think I'm okay with. I don't mind water sort of thing. I don't know. I'm not a massive fan of. I say frogs, but then how often do you come across that great big frogs that are dead slimy and stuff? So I don't know. I might
frogs.
Be okay.
Right. Yeah. Right. My sister-in-law is absolutely petrified of frogs. And
yeah.
Right. Fair enough. I know like people could say, well, you're scared of spiders, dude. But I don't get it with frogs. They're quite cute, aren't they?
Until you touch them and they're all slimy and all.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, they're all slimy and horrible. See, spiders are just spiders. They're not going to hurt you. They're all right.
Some of them will.
Well, some of them will, yeah, to be fair. But then again, the most poisonous animal on the planet is a frog, so they might hurt you as well.
I'll give you that, yeah, I'll give you that.
And they're brightly coloured. So you go, oh, look at this, I'll pick it up. Oh, shit, I'm dead. So, you know,
I'll give it a lick.
To be honest, if you're picking up animals, regardless of what they are, and thinking, going to give that a lick, it probably isn't going to end well.
For the animal.
for anybody, yeah. Yeah, especially if you get a particularly avuncular dachshund or something, you know what I mean? I don't mind this. If you want to lick a sausage dog, it's none of my business. Moving on. This reload rub then, guys. I've used up my quote. I'm ready to pass it on now. I'm ready to have a switch around. Where are you guys with yours?
So I feel as though I've used quite a lot of the packing heat one, but it just doesn't go down. I don't know, some sort of weird magic, like it just refills. But I feel as though I've used quite a lot, but there's hardly any out of it. I'm happy to pass them over and stuff.
No. Use it up first.
I'm
going to repackage mine into little packets, and then I'll bring it on Saturday or whatever.
The rest of it.
Yeah. I'll do that. What I'll do is I'll decant some into like a sort of food bag sort of thing, and just keep it nice and sealed, and then I'll hand it over because I'm using it, but it's like it literally just isn't going down.
Yeah,
and I think the packing heat one is more. There's only really me that likes spice and sort of heating food. So like my two daughters and Jenny, they're not massive fans. So when I'm doing it, it's like I'm only doing like one portion of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it feels as though it's not going down that much. What was the other one? Was it smoky barbecue on that? Yeah. That's nice as well.
So I'm sat. Mine are sat there waiting to go. They've been there for about a week or so. And it's like, Come on.
So no, I'll pop what does that I'll do the same as Andy. I'll pop in some food bags and stuff, and then we'll do a swapsy.
Winner chicken dinner. So hogs, dude, how are you getting on with your hog hunt? Are you any closer to getting yourself a motorbike?
All right, I thought we'd talk about my own hog then. Not really. It'll probably be in the new year, I think. Yeah, I think because of the weather's going to go crap, and then pretty much the van's all done, obviously. So
I've seen
all the money at the minute is saved up.
Dude, that's looking epic.
It's pretty good. It's shiny. Like, yeah, you can see yourself in anything. How long it'll stay like, I don't know.
But... it looks phenomenal. But I tell you what, though, I thought of this, and it's almost a moot point, really, because you can drive, I can drive, although people would question that, and Gaz also can drive. Again, people also would question that. But the one thing you can also drive with a motorbike license is a Reliant Robin. Did you know that? You don't need a car license. Yeah, you only need a motorbike license. I just thought about that. If TBR, why would you? Because if TBR had a car, surely the three of us packed into a bright pink Reliant Robin, that would get us the attention we needed driving around the country, and that with Tall Boy Radio, with that picture sprayed on the bonnet.
It'll have to be me and you either side, and then Gaz in the middle or in the back.
Yeah.
Just
to bounce out.
Yeah, I
thought you were going to go down the yellow sort of Only Fools and Horses Reliant Robin mode. I was like, no, we need a proper TBR on that, you know.
Trotters Independent Trading, TIT. Oh, there'll be a couple of tits.
There'll be a couple of tits, absolutely. A couple of big tits in the middle.
So that, I tell you what, though, if we're TBR on a car, it'd have to be something like that, wouldn't it? Something novelty.
Do you think, or do you not just think an American muscle car or something like that, you know, we're just sitting there, we're just proper just cruising down. Do you not think?
Massive Dodge Ram, it's like 5.7 litre.
Yeah.
Takes up four parking spaces and stuff,
In that massive sound system in the back or whatever, you're just like, do you know,
Mariah Carey blaring out.
All I Want for Christmas.
Oh, you know what? I knew you were going to say that then. I knew you were going to talk about Christmas when, as soon as you said Mariah Carey, I was like, no, dude, not happening.
I've been doing my Christmas prep these last couple of weeks, dude. I've got my pickled onions are away, ready for Christmas. I've been making those. I've gone for honey flavoured ones. Last year I did a garlic ones and they were pungent, to say the very least. I enjoyed them, but the smell the following day was a little bit too much. And I've also made, like last year I made, instead of making a gin, I made a Bailey's, and I made it flavoured with Maltesers. It didn't work so well, because I gave each other something, guys. And all the little bits of whatever honeycomb is out, it all sealed the bloody top, so you couldn't get the damn stuff
out. I like that. So obviously, you know, I was fortunate enough to be able to sample a little bit. It was nice. I enjoyed it.
I've done a gin this year, so you guys could definitely try a little bit of my gin. It's kiwi and cucumber flavoured. Okay. And I tell you what, it is smelling fantastic.
Really? I'll look forward to that. We need to perhaps pick a date where, you know, Amy and Andy Jackson can come down or whatever, or we can go up there, and because I know we have a bit of a geeks meal and stuff, but we can do the TBR sort of Christmas get together, couldn't we?
Definitely. Came up here. There's been a few like bars opening up, and they just do like loads of Belgian beer and stuff like that.
Yes, dude, definitely sounds like a plan. Yeah,
we need to get the good ladies to drive us up there for that.
Yeah, possibly, or we just drive ourselves and we'll just stop in a Travelodge or Premier Inn or a lay-by somewhere.
Or a bush.
A Weatherspoons.
Well, front steps. Sleeping bag on.
As long as there's no train travel involved, I don't want to get blamed for another one of Gaz's misguided journeys.
Leave no man behind. But no, so, you know, I just think it'd be pretty cool if, yeah, we could have a bit of a TBR sort of production meeting.
Well, we did one last year, and I think we did it quite early on in October, didn't we? We went out for a curry and a few beers, and good old Ken came with us. And yeah, we had a pretty good evening. We definitely need to replicate that again this year.
Yeah.
Stream it live on Twitch.
We'll have to slap GoPros on our heads.
Can you imagine? POV, TBR does POV.
Yeah, it'll be easier to locate when we get lost. Just follow the live stream. Yeah. Oh, he's been sick again.
Andy's talking about you. I can't believe you're going to stand for that. He's midget wrestling again, is he?
But you think he's no.
Dinklage is down. Dinklage is down. Repeat. Dinklage is down. Oh, we're probably going to get in trouble for this episode.
Yeah, you might, Adam, yeah.
That was him then, that was me. He was egging me on.
He'll get censored down to like 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's true. So just, Just a quick one then. Something I've seen advertised recently. You've seen this new Skyglass. Have you seen that advertised at all? What do you make
advertised?
Of that?
I sound really naive now. I don't really understand what it is. Is it just a live stream? Is that what it is?
It's a TV with Sky built into it. It's all obviously beamed in over the old Tinter web so that you don't need a box. I think you do need a Sky, but you're obviously going to have to pay for some form of subscription on top of your TV.
The only difference is you don't need a Sky box. It's just in your TV. Is that how it works?
Yeah, but you've got a voice activated TV, and so it can have Amazon Prime, Netflix, Disney Plus, Discovery Plus, all on the same box, and you can control it by your voice. I mean, the TV itself looks quite thick in terms of obviously, but it's got the speakers and everything built in.
Oh, is it a specific TV?
Yeah, so, you have to buy the TV. And I think the subscription packages start around about £12 for a basic package. So it looks, honestly, it looks quite interesting. It's something I definitely consider. We've got Sky Q, and I must admit, I quite like it. I do quite like Sky Q. It's a big improvement on Sky Plus. You're on Virgin, Andy, aren't you? Is it Virgin you're on?
Good old cable, 500 meg broadband and all that rubbish. Yeah. But I like Virgin. I don't know if I'd buy a TV within, because it means you got to buy a bloody TV. And it depends on their repair as well. Like, you know, like a Skybox, if it breaks, you've got to basically buy another one, aren't you? It's not like...
Well, not anymore, no. With Sky Q. Yeah, Sky Q, you're renting it, so you don't own it. So if there's a problem, they fix it without you having to pay a cost. Don't get me wrong, you pay a little bit more for Sky Q than you used to have for Sky Plus. Yeah. Same as with these things, the prices always go up and never go down. But I do think it's much improved. And we've only got the one sort of satellite box, but the thing is, you can unplug it and stick it in different TVs around the house. It's dead easy to do.
We've got Q, and we've got two boxes. So we've got one in the lounge, then we've got one in our bedroom. And I think I quite like Sky Q. I think there's quite a lot of nice features. You know, you can start watching something downstairs, and then you can take it upstairs, and you can continue to watch from where you were last time. And there's just things with your series links and all sorts of stuff. I do quite like it. I'd be interested. I didn't realise you actually had to buy the TV though for the Sky Glass. I wasn't quite sure how that worked, but because it would be cool if you could have the download subscription, but effectively do it through your existing box. You know, that would be quite cool.
I mean, I think that's the way things are going. We covered this off, actually, Andy. I don't know if you've got to watch you back, but the episode that you missed out while you were distracted, I don't know, something like Son Being Born, something like that, I think it was. And we just... we were talking about subscription, TV subscription, and actually, it gets quite expensive when you start adding it up, because the stuff you want to watch, like we said, like guys, you know, used to watch The Walking Dead, and it was moved from FX onto Disney Plus now, so if he wants to watch that final season, which obviously you're not that fussed about, you then have to pay that extra subscription for it, whereas other than The Mandalorian, there's not that much else on there that he's not interested in.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I pay sports package, movie package, standard entertainment package for Sky, and then I've got Amazon, and then I've got BT Sport, and you know, so all of a sudden you rack that up,
adds up,
and it adds up, and then you start thinking, and I haven't got BritBox or anything, but you know, if you start to think about all the subscriptions that you could have, you'd be thinking, that's a lot of money per month, and I wonder whether or not we're gonna, and again, we've covered this off in a previous podcast, I'm not going to go down it now, but I wonder whether or not you're going to get to the point where you turn around and say, well, actually, I wouldn't mind watching that, so I'll just download that, and that's going to cost me 25 pence or 50 pence or whatever, and then I'm going to download that, and effectively you just get to a streaming package where everything that you want to watch, you just pay for. Do you know what I mean? And I wonder whether or not everything's going to go down that route.
See, the other model is obviously the Spotify model, and literally every piece of music you want to listen to, more or less, give or take. I know a lot of the De La Soul stuff isn't in there, which I find frustrating. But most of the music you want to listen to is all in one place. And I just feel that we need something like that for movie and TV.
Yeah.
I think until Sky get broken up, I don't think that'll ever happen. I think like Sky and all that, like a traditional company that like the old way of charging people £100 a month or whatever. Whereas like, you know, like Netflix and all that, $6.99, $7.99 or whatever it is.
So yeah. So did either of you guys pay out for the boxing then over the weekend, Tyson Fury?
I was gonna until I saw it was £25. I was like, no, I'm not interested.
Was it really £25?
Yeah. No, I didn't. And again, I think this has been covered off in a previous podcast. I just think I'm a bit reluctant to do box office stuff just because, and we mentioned this, and it might have been back in the day where we did the WWE stuff, and it was like that was box office, and it was WrestleMania, and then SummerSlam, and I just felt as though it was the thin end of tip of the iceberg, thin end of the wedge, and all that. I just thought I might be a bit two faced if I then pay for that, but then I'm bad mouthing this guy because actually it's the tip of the iceberg, and they're then going to start charging for lots of other things, if that makes sense. So yeah. I'm a bit anti box office. I sort of feel as though we pay enough for the subscription, it should be part of your general subscription. However, I'm not naive enough to think that that's not the way that it's going to go. And as I just said, I think you'll end up with a lot more sort of subscription-based stuff. You know, you look at Now TV, you know, get your Sky Now TV pass for £7 or whatever, and you can watch this game and this game, you know. So there are subscription services out there, and I think that's probably where you're going to go. But no, look, I've seen the highlights and I've seen the knockdowns and I've seen the reaction and stuff. And it, by all accounts, everybody that paid for it said, well worth the money. One of the best fights I've seen. Fantastic spectacle. Great entertainment. You could have just paid £25 for a fight, 10, 15 second knockout, though, couldn't you? You know what I mean? So
yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing.
And that's what frustrates me.
I was going to say, do you find this, though, at the moment? Like, that's the third time those guys have fought. And then you're talking about now the AJ fighting the other guy again. It's like, come on now.
You must have. Did you see Jed McPhee's tweet? Is that what you're
on? I did, yeah. And you know what? He's quite right.
He is right.
Back in the day, when we used to watch like the greats of heavyweight boxing, when I used to think boxing was entertaining, now it's a little bit dull. And I'm taking nothing away from Tyson Fury because there's no man in boxing with as much heart as that guy. But these trilogies of fight and rematch after rematch, just move on and get on with it. You got beat. Stop being a baby.
I was just going to say, there's Sky Sports, the YouTube channel, I can't remember what it's called now. It's like Overtime or something like that, where Gary Neville interviews people. So he's done like AJ and all that. He did Tyson Fury, and Tyson turned around saying that he's not really going to fight AJ because the way they normally do it is one boxer's coming up and the other one's coming down. And he wants that last payday where Tyson still thinks he's got a few more fights, so he's not coming down.
Yeah. No.
And then AJ won't do it because he knows, well, this is what Tyson's words, that he thinks
he knows
that
Tyson will beat him.
I think he will as well. I think he would.
Oh, I think he probably would. I think
Well, if you think about it though as well, that loss he had against that Usyk or whatever he's called, he's now lost the belts, so Tyson's not going to be interested in him anymore.
No, he's been
for a couple of years now, hasn't he?
Yeah, that's AJ knackered for a couple of years, I suspect, and now they're talking about Fury fighting Usyk because the Wilder trilogy's gone. They're then talking about Dillian White. Well, why would Fury fight Dillian White? No disrespect to Dillian White, but is that not just a step down? Do you know what I mean?
It's like, 100% it is, yeah.
So why would he fight him? Usyk's got the belts off AJ, so is that not just the obvious fight for Fury to take? Is Usyk and then unify the division? Don't know. You know, back in the day, you'd have three or four guys that would have proper decent scraps, but it was never a three-fight, two-fight rematch. That was just never on the cards.
No, absolutely.
Brings in money now, though, doesn't it?
Oh, no, absolutely. And I was going to say, you know, a minute ago, you know, that's why they do it. It's written in the contract. Yes, we'll sign this 50, 60 million pound fight. But actually, in the contract, the loser gets a rematch, which will net him 30% of the takings. You know, the winner will take 70% of the takings of the rematch. Because if you've won, you're probably the champion or the favourite, and therefore you should take more. You know, and it's all written in these contracts now. So I don't know. As entertaining as Fury won the first fight and it's called a draw, but Fury won the first one.
Yeah.
He then won the second one and stopped him, and he then won the third one and stopped him. So I don't think Wilder's got any comeback in terms of him fighting Fury again. I think he's going to move. I think Fury will move on. And I actually think that the Fury AJ boat has gone. I think it sailed. I do think it'll happen.
I think it sailed the second he lost to Usyk, to be honest with you.
That's what I'm saying.
Unless obviously the result of this last fight maybe would have been different. I don't know. But anyway, I think that brings us round about to the hour mark. Now, a couple of things podcast-wise, I want to give us a quick shout-out before we all say goodbyes. You can now listen to this podcast on Facebook. If you go to our Facebook page, scroll across to where it says podcast, you can listen to every single episode we've ever done on there. Although I have heard a few people say they've had difficulty listening to us. I think it needs to be authenticated by Zuck. He needs to pull his finger out and just check that. I think it's down to whether we own the rights to the music. This is what people have been saying. And listen, we can prove that we don't necessarily have the rights to it, but we have permission to play it. We have that in an email, so that's all good and golden. And also now on Spotify, if you listen to us on Spotify, you will see that there is a question at the end which you can answer and thus participate in each of these episodes, and we'll probably share them out as soon as this thing gets a little bit more popular. Not too many people using it at the moment, but we're looking forward to it. So do you guys want to give your shout-outs and say any goodbyes?
I'll say goodbye. Not many shout-outs, the usual people. You know, Johnny Simonetti, Simonetti, whichever. He's always ready. You know, he does listen to us. He drops out a sort of message after every podcast. Fair play to the guy. We're still loving the Reload Rub, so thank you very much again for that. Spot on. No, just the usual crew. You know you are. I'm not going to mention them specifically. I can't believe it's an hour. Just over an hour. It's sort of like a game flown by. Oh, love the new format. Love just chatting. Don't really know where it's going to go. We've covered loads of stuff tonight that I never really thought we'd cover, but that's the way TBR goes now. So loved it. Gaz out.
Cool. Andy?
Yeah, I just remembered that YouTube channel. That's The Overlap with Gary Neville.
Oh, okay.
He interviews Roy Keane. That's a really good one to watch.
I've seen that one. Yeah, I have seen that one. That is an interesting one.
But other than that, yeah, like Johnny's Instagram's really good, entertaining and stuff. And you got all your regulars as well. So yeah, keep up the good work, and we'll keep chatting shit for an hour.
Yeah, that's what we do. That's what we got it down to a T. Yeah, absolutely. I've got a couple of shout-outs. Number one to my brother-in-law, Neil, who sent me a text message the other day saying he'd just got back from the pub. He'd been out in the railway pub in Hale where he lives, and Morrissey was in the pub with him there. Thanks, buddy. Thanks for texting me after. Not before. Not I'm in the pub. Morrissey's here, dude. Come over. I just got back from the pub. I was in there with my mates. Guess what? Morrissey was in there.
He's been doing his Bob the Builder impressions.
It wasn't Neil Morrissey.
I was going to say bringing the mood of the whole place down, but okay.
Cheers for that one. And then my last shout out is to my cousin Joe's wife, Lucy, who's just started her own online company. Go have a look at them, www.cozybox.co.uk. Basically, they have these really phenomenal quality blankets that are knitted on an old-time mill. I know you don't knit blankets per se. It's probably something else. I don't know enough about it. But go check them out. They put together these fantastic boxes. And have a look, because they do look very, very good. And I'm going to leave you with a quote from an old manager of mine, and it's the best bit of advice that anybody could ever give you. Never go swimming with bow-legged women. Take care.